It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk. My name is Haley Fields, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Dr. Scott Looper. Dr. Looper is a naturopathic doctor and the usual host of Health Talk. And today we're talking about how to get healthy and continuing our Living Well series. Hello, Dr. Looper.
Hi, Haley. Thank you for being the host again today. This is fabulous. I really appreciate the help. And I really appreciate it, especially because it gives me an opportunity to do a different kind of show. For, you know, years and years and years, 30, I think. I've been working on how to live well. I've been practicing ways that you can maximize the amount of, you know, energy and fun and just having things work well. And it turns out there's a lot that you can do to keep your system running well. And the first show I talked about the kind of the basics. And let me just kind of review them because everybody heard the first show. The very simple basics of how to live well, you need to hit it on four different areas. Number one, you need to eat the proper kinds of food to get the nutrients to be able to run the systems that we live in, our bodies. Common sense, right? Second one is we need to sleep. And the main thing that happens in sleep is our body repairs. Without that, we fall apart and we can't stay alive. So sleep is required. The third one is exercise. Exercise is about getting blood circulating. With blood comes life, comes oxygen, comes nutrients, comes all the stuff we need, and waste product gets removed. Our body gets clean by moving things through, and the exercise improves our circulation. Mm-hmm. We'll have a lot to say about that later. And then the last one is to have purpose in life. I mean, what's all this for if it's not to accomplish something, right? You need to have a purpose to be able to engage all the systems and get everything working. So that's a big picture. We started last show with the digestive system because it's a foundation. Without the digestive system doing its job, your body just can't run well. We need the energy. We also need the nutrients to be able to do the rebuild and the fix and the repair that goes on. And the process of digestion starts in the mouth. And, I mean, duh, we bite food, we chew it, we swallow it, right? But it's more than that. It turns out that the mouth is key to digestion. Because if you don't chew your food and you swallow hunks and chunks, the chance of you actually breaking those hunks and chunks down is poor. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a 22-year-old male at the peak of their digestive prowess, you got a pretty decent chance of getting through anything, including shoe leather. But for most of us who are not at the peak of our prowess, we need every help we can get to be able to digest our food. And being able to chew your food, to break it down, to get it into, you know, into small little tiny little chunks makes it much, 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 much easier for your body to actually successfully break it down on a molecular level and extract the nutrients from it. So that's part of it. You gotta have a mouth that works and be able to chew your food. We talked about that on the last show. We also mentioned that the actual chemical process of digestion begins in the mouth as well. There's an enzyme there called amylase, and the amylase starts processing the sugars, the carbohydrates, and breaking those down. So this is great. This food is already on its way to being broken down and absorbed by the time it reaches your stomach. Now, once it hits your stomach, it needs to get more stuff in it. Protein breakdowns with pepsin and other enzymes. Acid helps break things down. There's a bunch of other stuff that happens in the stomach itself. So you think the stomach's really important for digestion, and it is, it is. But it's not so much important for the process of absorbing nutrients as more kind of setting up the prep for our small intestine to do the real work. Mm. So the stomach is basically like a holding area.
Sure.
Now, the process of digesting has started there already, but it's a holding area. What it's designed to do is allow you to eat a bunch of food and then hold on to it and then trickle it into your small intestine one drop at a time. It's kind of like like using a pellet stove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pellet stove, you load up the hopper full of pellets, and then it drops them, bing, one at a time, bing, 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 right? Our stomach does the same thing. We load the hopper up, and then it drops the food down a drop at a time and gives us a realistic chance to be able to break this food down and extract the nutrients from it. Now, this is the good news. Now, the bad news is a lot of times this process of digestion is incomplete because our digestive system is weak, or we eat too much, mm-hmm. or we don't chew our food very well, mm-hmm. Or we don't have enough stomach acid to begin with. There's a zillion things that go wrong. And so if the digestion process is incomplete, then we get heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
The bugs that live in us, if they can get access to our food, that's the stuff that we can't digest, they can. So if we can't digest it, don't worry, someone else will, and that someone else lives inside you. And when they digest it, they ferment it. They make bubbles. Bubbles is probably the wrong word on this one because really it's these tiny little bubbles and there's thousands of them. That's called foam. You get this foam production in your small intestine and it's not supposed to be there. And so your body, you know, tries to get rid of it. So it pushes it up and out. And the system is set up to allow that to come out. There's an anti-bloat system that we have. If you start filling up, you feel like, whoa, I ate too much, I got a bloat going on, and the pressure starts pushing against that little sphincter at the top of your stomach, that sphincter is a safety valve. It's designed to open. You press on it, it opens. And so whatever's extra is in there, the foam or whatever, comes up. Now, the problem is whatever's in there, it's gone through the stomach, so it's picked up this acid tang, and now, oop! I got a heartburn, right? Because the foam's coming up and it starts burning your esophagus. So, yeah, the typical thing that somebody's going to do is say, I have too much stomach acid.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's very rarely the case. Most of the time, it's too little stomach acid because your digestive system's not actually got enough acid to break down your food.
Mm-hmm.
You got the leftovers and they're fermenting, they're coming up as bubbles. Now, it's not the only reason for that sphincter to open. Remember, it's all about pressure.
Sure.
So if you get a baby head
mm-hmm.
pressing against that, yeah, then it opens it up as well, just as good as, you know, having a food baby. A real baby will do it. And so pregnant ladies are very prone to getting heartburn, especially later on in their pregnancy, you know, in the third trimester. So anyways, we get a system set up where the food's starting to process to digest. It gets trickled into the small intestine. If everything works great, then you get a little bit of food coming in there. You're able to digest every last drop of it, extract every nutrient that is in the food for our use and not the use of the bacteria. If you have a weak digestion and you got a lot of extra food moving through your small intestine, more than it should be, and you have an environment that's conducive to having a lot of bacteria in the small intestine, you can get permanent colonies set up in there, and that's known as SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and it really causes a lot of problems. It messes with people's immune systems, makes them tired, makes them weak, makes them have bad digestion, makes their poop go bad, as well as a bunch of different kinds of things are going on. It's been a problem that's been finally discovered and realized. Unfortunately, the standard treatment for it is to take antibiotics, which, you know, they'll work. They do. They work. They knock down the small intestinal bacteria. But if you don't change the way you eat and you don't strengthen your digestive system, if you still have a weak digestive system that only digests part of what you eat, then the SIBO is simply going to come back.
Mm-hmm. After you stop taking the antibiotic.
Yeah. It's just going to come back because if there's an environment that's set up that's conducive to the bacteria, that is a warm, wet, dark place with lots of food,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're going to come.
Uh-huh.
They'll find a way. Trust me, they'll find a way. So the best way to actually fix this problem, first of all, you do have to knock down the bacteria. We use a thing called Purge the World to do that, and it works fabulous. Better than the antibiotics, honestly. And then I've talked to people like I'm talking right now, and I teach them how to eat smaller meals, chew your food well, and we do some sort of digestive enhancement to get your digestive system working better. Now, there's I don't want to teach everybody, take everybody to medical school and tell you everything I know. It's too much. But I'll tell you a little bit of ideas about things that are helpful. Remember, the principle here is strengthen your digestion. Get it to work better. So how do we do that? We mentioned some things already. Digestive enzymes. You could take those.
Okay.
They come in pill form. You can actually go to the grocery store and pick up some digestive enzymes.
Over the counter?
Yeah, no problem. And they help. You can get a stronger digestive system by taking digestive enzymes. Now, there's lots of different kinds of enzymes. Some are better, some are worse. The ones that are plant-derived tend to be weak. That's the one from papaya. It's called papain. Mm. Now, sometimes you don't need much. You just need the tiniest little bit of assist. Papaya might just be the right thing for you. There's one from pineapple called bromelain. That's another one that's helpful. The strong ones are made from fungus. Oh. The fungus is really good at digesting things. I mean, it's their job, right? Out in nature is to break stuff down.
Decompose.
So they have better enzymes as a species than these other plants do. And so you can get extracts from Aspergillus fungus that work really well to help with your digestion. Now, I'm not a big fan of taking something forever, being on digestive enzymes permanently. So what I'd rather do is kind of rehabilitate people's digestive system. And one of the best ways to do that is to take bitters.
Mm-hmm.
Bitters will stimulate your digestive system to make its own enzymes. So the whole thing runs better with bitters. Now, it's not necessarily logical why bitters would be helpful. They taste bad, for one thing. Most people, it's bitter. I don't want to eat it. And the reason why it tastes bad is because our bodies learn to recognize that bitters are poison in nature.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat something that's bitter, there's a probably 99% chance that that thing is a poison.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've learned to identify is plants that are bitter, but they are not poison. And we use them to make bitters out of them. Gentian's a famous one, but there's other ones as well. And you get that little bit of bitter taste in your mouth. Hops, by the way, is another one.
Mm.
You get that little bit of bitter taste in your mouth, and it stimulates your digestive system to work better because your body wants to break the poison down before it kills you. So you make more digestive enzymes, more stomach acid, more of all the stuff that you need for digestion, and your digestion basically becomes souped up.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, now you're digesting everything, not just the bitter poison. I'm doing air quotes here. This is me saying poison in quotes because there is no poison. But it tastes like poison. And meanwhile, now you'll be able to digest your lasagna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or pizza or whatever. If you eat food that's combined with bread and cheese and something that's fatty, you know, like with lasagna's got different kinds of cheese and whatever, and pizza's got salami and pepperoni and whatever, that kind of stuff. Those foods are really hard to digest. They're complex. There's a lot of different things that have to take place. And so it's common as dirt for people, especially older people, to eat that kind of food and get heartburn, get burping, get this like the food baby bloat thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could do digestive enzymes, and if you do bitters, then you can solve that problem. Now, the other thing to do is, of course, don't eat so much. That'll help.
Right.
Yeah, and chew your food. Yeah, that'll help. Things like that. So let's talk about the small intestine. The small intestine is an interesting part of your body because it's super vital. There's this amazing intensity of the metabolism of the lining of the small intestine because there's a lot of action that takes place there. In fact, the average lifespan of a cell in the small intestine is 3 days. 3 days, they're done. They're used up and they basically get broken down. So the way every 3 days you grow a new lining to your digestive system. Now, you don't all do it at one go. What happens is there's they're called crypts. These little caves, if you will. The cells divide in these caves. They're deep in the wall of the intestine. Then they do this trip like a conveyor belt, and they work their way along the villi. These are little finger-like projections, tiny little things. But they work their way along it, and the whole trip takes 3 days. By the time they get to the tip of that, they die, they get broken down, and they get recycled. A third of the protein that we eat every day is us.
Huh.
Is the lining of our digestive system that sloughed off, that died and got, you know, it's going into the recycle. So there's a huge amount of energy that goes into keeping the system running because it's super important. Now, the amount of surface area that is in the digestive system is mind-blowing. I mean, think about it. This is a little tube that sits in our stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you took that tube and you actually flattened it out and got rid of all the little folds and flattened them out, it would cover a tennis court.
Wow.
There's that much surface area. So the food's got a real good chance eventually, as it gets churning, to come up into contact with some piece of this lining to allow the nutrients, proteins, fats, carbohydrates, that kind of thing, to get absorbed into our system so we can break it down and use it. We need all that surface area. Now, if there's a breakdown in the digestive system where the digestive system gets weak, a lot of energy goes into the process of digestion. And so if the body needs that energy to do something else with, chances are it'll take it from the digestive system. It just literally, it siphons that energy away. So our digestive system doesn't work as well. If we're real sick, in the hospital, we know by instinct we don't want to eat. It's just going to go bad.
Right.
People who have real weak digestion, they know by instinct, I can't eat that much.
Yeah.
And they'll just eat a bite or two and they're good. Because other than if they eat more than that and force themselves to eat more than that, think cancer patients, then they know it's just going to go bad. And they're not going to get any benefit from it. They're not going to gain weight from it because their digestive system doesn't have the energy to maintain itself because their body's using that energy to go do something else.
Right. To
fight off the illness. So people who are sick really need the support. Those people, cancer patients, real sick, they all need digestive enzymes. They really, that's the population that really needs that. People who are very sick, they need every help they can get. They need to eat food that's easy to digest too. Not, foods are not all the same. It's not like you just eat anything and so they're all the same to digest. There's a lot of difference in food's ease of digestion. If food is designed not to rot, it's hard to digest because rotting is digestion of a sort.
True.
Yeah. So preserved foods, they're preserved so they won't break down. So we have a hard time breaking them down as well. Not only the bugs and the bacteria and the fungus, we do as well. So you can pretty much tell what foods, how easy it is to digest by how fragile it is and easily rotted it is.
Yeah.
So you think about protein. Protein's super important to digest because if you don't digest it, it makes the nastiest bits of anything you eat. And the kinds of proteins that are the easiest to digest, again, are the ones that will rot the easiest. So what rots the easiest?
Fresh meat or fresh fish.
Yeah. Eggs that have been cracked.
Eggs, yep.
The fish and eggs, they won't last more than half a day.
Right.
Meat, maybe it'll last three quarters of a day maybe. On the opposite side of that is what? Stuff like?
Deli meat.
Yeah, preserved meats. Pepperoni, salami, stuff like that. You can leave them out for a day or two. Hot dogs? They don't rot. Do they ever rot? I never noticed a hot dog rotting. Eventually they'll mold.
Yeah.
They'll mold is what they'll do. Other than that, they don't rot.
Sure.
And they're designed that way so that you can sell them, right? So we don't want them to go bad. They have longer shelf life. Yeah. So you get stuff that has a longer shelf life. Now you have a harder time digesting it. No wonder we have so many digestive problems.
Right. Because everything in our supermarkets are all boxed and preserved. And
yeah. Set for shelf life.
Right.
Exactly. So it's harder to digest. So if you can get real food, natural food, that will break down, I mean, it doesn't have a long shelf life, then they're easier to digest. You get the nutrients out of it, and our system's better for it. So fresh, new food. And, you know, you got to work to do it, but it comes out better. If you're weak, if you're somebody who's already weakened, then it's super important for you to get high-quality foods. If you're older, or if you've gone through some kind of illness, those are the people that absolutely need to get the best food in them, the easiest to digest food. Stuff that won't keep in the shelf for a long time, right? Yeah. And then the folks that have a super strong digestive system, like, well, whatever, they can eat anything and get away with it. The teenagers.
Right, the kids.
Right? They can. They have the ability to burn through just about anything. So let's talk a little bit more about digestive system enhancements. I don't know if it's true, but we kind of hit on this a little bit. We talked about stomach acid, and we talked about taking acid, like, and we mentioned the hydrochloric, I mean, not hydrochloric, but the vinegar.
Yep. Apple cider vinegar. Kombucha.
Okay. Yeah, kombucha. That's another one that'll work. So it's got a little bit of acid to it that'll actually enhance digestion as well.
And is it good to take before or after?
Before.
Meals? Okay.
Before. Before is the best time to do it. I mean, you could take it after and it'll help a little bit, but if you take it before, it actually works better.
Sure.
First bite of food. That's the actual ideal time to take it.
Okay.
If you take it up to 10 minutes before, it'll be helpful. You could take it up an hour after you eat, and it'll still be helpful. It's just you get the maximum benefit first bite of food.
Okay.
Because just think about it. It's when it's going to mix in and break the food down so that you can get all the nutrients out of it.
Okay.
So that's the one. It's kind of weird to think about because if you got heartburn.
Think that you need less acid.
Did Dr. Luper say I'm supposed to take acid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. For sure. Really. I'm not kidding. You could try it out. You could actually take acid. Now, you have to chew your food well and eat small meals. And it takes a little while to kind of build the whole system up. But you do supplemental acid, and your digestive system works better.
Well, when I was on my bikini prep, I was taking apple cider vinegar first thing in the morning, a 2-ounce shot. And, I mean, that was an extreme weight loss program for a competition, but I still ended up losing, like, 27 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew about this.
Yeah. I was a bodybuilder before I became a mom. That can be another episode.
That's interesting, this whole bodybuilding thing. So, actually, let's talk a little bit about bodybuilding, just a teeny bit. Because one of the nutrients that helps with bodybuilding is glutamine.
Yes. I was recommended glutamine by my trainer when I was experiencing cravings at night or feeling like I was hungry after I ate every 3 hours throughout the day. I was eating more food in my entire life, and I was still hungry.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the glutamine is it is the favorite food for the cells that line the small intestine. We mentioned how they have a 3-day lifespan, and there's a lot of turnover of those cells. So the body needs a lot of glutamine to make those cells. They're basically the number one fuel for that whole system. So if you're trying to build your muscles, you need to absorb a lot of material because your muscles are made up of stuff, protein. And so you got to get that protein in. Now, if you can break that protein down with acid, you got a better chance of absorbing it. Because if it's not broken down, you can't absorb it. You can't absorb hunks and chunks. It has to be broken down to molecule size, amino acids. So if you can get a fuel in there to enhance the health of the lining of the small intestine to make the nap of it bigger so that there's more surface area, the length of the villi, then you can absorb more stuff. We're building muscle now, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. That's the reason why it works. And now it'll work. You don't have to be a bodybuilder. You can just be anybody who want to improve your digestive system. It's cheap and easy. You can pick it up at the grocery store. It's not hard to get a hold of at all. And you do a teaspoon of glutamine in some water. Doesn't taste bad. Doesn't taste good.
It doesn't really have too much of a flavor.
Nutty, maybe. That's what I get from it. Funny. Not bad. Anyways, you can take it easy enough. You mix it with a little bit of water and then chug it down. Pretty much every cancer patient who's like really sick in our practice gets put on glutamine.
Okay.
Because they do better.
Sure.
They don't lose weight.
Yep.
Their system runs better because they're using all their energy to fight the cancer.
And they can absorb the nutrients.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they do better. They live longer. They heal better. I mean, you're trying to get the chemo to work. And the trick is to get them, to have them stay alive long enough for the chemo to do its job.
Right.
Well, if their digestive system falls apart, you have to quit the chemo. Yeah, now the chance of chemo working just gone down. Not to zero, mind you, but it's not as good as it was if you could do the whole course. So if you do a glutamine, you got a better chance of actually going through the entire course of the chemo and coming out on the right side. So there is. There's a tip right there. That was worth the price of the show right there, right? If you have cancer, you know somebody with cancer, glutamine turns out to be a really helpful thing to do. Okay, so the small intestine needs to have a healthy lining. That lining needs to absorb all the nutrients to get it into your body. And if you don't absorb all your nutrients, we started with this story. If you don't absorb all your nutrients, you got leftover food, then you got a perfect environment to grow bacteria. You got a lot of bacteria in your gut, then what you get is not only bloat, that's the least problem. What you get is you get the formation of toxins. Now, the toxins, you think, well, how do the bacteria do the toxins? Well, several ways. First of all, what they don't use, they eat. They're like us. They eat it. They take what they want. They poop out the nasty bits.
They secrete. Yeah,
that. Yeah, toxins. Microscopic poop. That's toxins. Not only that, but they'll also go out of their way to make more nasty bits to knock down the competition. The other bacteria nearby that are also competing for food, we want to knock those guys down. So they literally will generate toxins to make their life better and easier and have more access to nutrients. And we're the ones that suffer.
Yeah.
Those toxins make us sick. Now, there's occasionally I have patients that are really sick from this. They are wasted. They have chronic fatigue. They cannot do their lives. They have to quit their job from how bad they feel from this. So the good news is there's tests that we can do to figure out if this is, in fact, a problem. And there's treatments we can do to fix it. Now, it's more than we want to go through all the treatments we do in the show. Right now, we're keeping it simple, how to live well. I don't want to get sidetracked on the horrible bits. How to live well, again, from the beginning, if somebody joined the show late, you want to chew your food well. You want to eat small meals. You want to eat the kind of foods that are easy to digest. If you want to do something to enhance your digestion, you take bitters. Now, what bitters? You know, the stuff you use to make cocktails.
Yeah.
The Angostura.
Have an old-fashioned.
That'll do it. Well, there, I don't know if that's the best way to get bitters in. You know, the interesting thing about the old-fashioned, it was invented as a health tonic.
Yep.
That was its first purpose, is to actually get people's digestive system working better. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective. Except for they took the tonic, that is, they had a little bit of alcohol with bitters in it, and they put sugar in it, maraschino cherries, and a
oranges,
bunch of fruit, and all this other stuff. Yeah, you know, it tastes a lot better now, but it lost some of the effectiveness.
The health benefit of it was lost, for sure.
The original tonic, you know, was enough to put hair on your chest, right? It was that kind of thing. Yeah, like that. Anyways, if you can get your digestive system working tip-top and you absorb all the nutrients, all that's going to be left over is going to be fiber, pure, white, clean fiber going into your colon. And that fiber is manna from heaven for the bacteria that live in your colon. They live on that stuff. And the reason why they're good bacteria and beneficial bacteria, because when they break that fiber down, they release a thing called short-chain fatty acids. Those short-chain fatty acids, we use them. They're food to us. So when somebody tells you, if you eat a piece of celery, that you're actually using more calories chewing it than you get from the celery, that would be true, except for our bacteria break the fiber down in the celery and release more calories from the celery, from the fiber.
Mm.
So it turns out that celery is a gain.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, we literally gain more calories based on the ability of our bacteria to take that insoluble fiber, which we can't digest, and break it down into short-chain fatty acids, which we absorb readily.
Mm-hmm.
Short-chain fatty acids, it sounds horrible, like these are acids. No. They're manna from heaven for the cells that line our colon. It's their favorite thing to eat, is short-chain fatty acids. Where they have plenty of short-chain fatty acids, they prosper. Now, glutamine, we mentioned earlier, that's the favorite thing for the cells that line the small intestine.
Mm.
They love glutamine. So our body is different in different stages. Anyways, the short-chain fatty acids are fabulous. They work really, really, really well to keep our colon healthy and happy. People who have lots of short-chain fatty acids tend to have less or no colon cancer, for example. And they're much, much less likely to have, you know, constipation and diarrhea and irritable bowel and all that stuff. So a lot of things what I'm trying to do to get people's digestive system to work well is to get plenty of fiber that's soluble. We're not talking about floor sweepings here, you know, gravel and rocks and twigs and things. Not that kind of stuff. This is the kind of the goo that's left over from the process of digestion of fruits and vegetables. Chia seeds are packed full of it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why we do chia seeds in our practice so much is we're trying to get the soluble fiber into people's system to keep their colons healthy. And Haley, you're such a good host. You're giving me the look.
I am. It is about time. So we'll get into that next time. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for everybody who joined. I'm your host, Haley Fields. I'm the clinic director here at White Spruce Medical, located in the Key Bank building in beautiful downtown Fairbanks. Thank you for tuning into the show. Hopefully you'll be with us again next week. And stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
Brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more health talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.